What's an extra? Let's go. What's extra? Let's go. What's ultra? Let's go. What's extra? Let's go. What's extra? Let's go.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Three Dads Talking About Anime. This is Chest, a.k.a. Chest. Who else is in the house?
I'm Cole.
And I'm Ben.
Guys, I'm excited. You're excited.
No, you're not.
Cole's excited. I'm excited not. To talk about a show that is so bad. Gosh, finally something to replace Jordan. I'm going to just run with this gag that y'all have got one that I hate this show. I'm going to run with it. I actually did not hate this show, but I'm going to make jokes like I did. Yeah, we're going to talk about My Hero Academia tonight. I'm very excited. But first, how you doing? Anything fun? Anything fun things to share? I have a fun thing.
A chest. Go ahead.
That's why I asked. It was probably one of the most random things. I met an actual celebrity, like not a local celebrity, like a real honest to goodness person that is a big, big deal. And I didn't know it at the time. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, man.
We're in our favorite coffee shop, and my 1-year-old just starts running around like she does. And she started like talking and babbling to this woman and like handing her empty cups. And the woman was super nice. So we start talking to her. She's from Ireland. She's super cool. Her and her husband lives in Davenport. So we're like, hey, because we mentioned we live in Dubuque. She's like, Dubuque, I love Dubuque. My husband is from Davenport. We're like, oh, wow. That's awesome. So we just start connecting, and we just basically talk about parenting. Intercultural families, parenting. She has a 2-year-old. She travels a lot for work. Oh, what do you do for work? I'm a wrestler. I'm like, really?
No.
She's like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. And my husband wrestles too. I'm actually here in Greensboro for a show. I was like, really? That's fascinating. I never would have expected this. You're like this mild-mannered lady, super sweet lady. Do either of y'all know anything about wrestling? Because I did not until I started doing research.
Not currently.
Yeah, maybe from late 90s.
Yeah.
I met Becky Lynch, which is one of the biggest names WWE wrestlers in the world.
Time to look her up.
Yep, Googling as well.
She was rated as like the 6th biggest female athlete on Twitter like a year or so ago. Her husband, who is also an athlete, a wrestler, is currently in Atlanta, and we did a deep dive. Christopher R. helped me out, and he figured out, oh, he's in Atlanta filming a movie is what his wife told us. He's filming Captain America 4 right now. He's in Captain America 4. Yeah, Seth Rollins.
That's who was there with her?
He was not with her. I did not meet Seth Rollins. I met his wife, Rebecca, who is Becky Lynch. And we started looking up like documentaries and stuff. And it's like, this lady is a huge deal. She's like a multimillionaire. Huh. And she just chilled at the coffee shop with
that's
us.
So fun.
She introduced herself as Rebecca. So that's what we ran with. We totally wrote to her Instagram and was just like, hey, thanks Rebecca for chatting with us. We hope that, you know, the show goes well that you were filming, blah, blah. And she didn't respond, but she has like a million. bajillion followers, so of course she's not gonna respond, but we're like, we're gonna write anyway. So I don't know, it was really fun. It was one of those moments where you meet a celebrity and you're like, this person is super down to earth, but they're worth a bajillion dollars. And they could have, like, she asked me, hey, I need to buy like a long sleeve shirt, where should I go shopping? And I was like, oh, go to this shopping center, it's super nice, and they've got a good blend of like department store and nice shops. And she could have bought the department store. So
wow. Do you take a picture with her?
No, because we didn't know who she was. We just
until later.
We didn't know until we got home and we're like, oh, she told us her wrestling name. We need to look her up. And then we're like, what the heck?
That's this so funny.
Oh my gosh. Who's her husband? He does what now? And like when every time she introduced something about her life or her family, it none of it was related to wrestling. I'm sure for her it was like, oh, this is nice. They don't know who I am. So I'm going to talk about anything but wrestling.
Sure, sure.
And so she talked about how her husband owns these coffee shops in Davenport, and you guys should totally check them out next time you go to Dubuque. And we're traveling for international travel. And, you know, she casually mentioned we're going to Saudi Arabia or Mexico. But can you tell me what it's like to travel with a two-year-old? Because you guys just went to Japan. And, you know, like it was those sorts of conversations. It was totally normal. This is what I would have with anybody.
They're real and people.
They're real people. And she was super chill. She was just, and she kind of seemed like she was by, she's like, yeah, I honestly don't know what to do because I'm here by myself for the first time, not with my two-year-old. So it's kind of nice to have your kids around. And I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, like, yeah, our kids are always with us. So I get it. It'd be weird too if I was not with my kids on a trip. Huh. So it was fun. It was super, super weird to meet an actual celebrity. That's like a big deal. She was the first female one of the first female wrestlers in WrestleMania. Just crazy level of like huge, huge celebrity status in a certain pocket. But she also played like Cyndi Lauper on the show about the Young Rock. So she also acts. Powell found an interview where someone was asking her, like alluding she might be in the Eternals 2, and she doesn't deny it. She just is like, well, we'll see. It's not up to me. And so it's just stuff like that. You're like, who is this person I just met? So I've decided that'll be one of my two truths and a lie from now on, is like I met one of the most famous at the time WWE wrestlers in the world.
Nice.
And the other one's gonna be that I ate raw horse meat. So
good. Does she like anime?
I didn't ask her because I usually don't ask normal people right out the gate.
You didn't want to
like
plug
anime because I have a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're a wrestler and an actor, but I have a podcast about anime if you care to check it out.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah. I did not do it.
Trying to sell your stuff to her.
Now, I did that once in Japan because my friend who I knew liked anime introduced me to a dude and he's like, this guy likes anime, talking about me. And so we started talking about anime with the Japanese dude. And I was like, I almost immediately went in on like, hey, if you want to practice English, I have a podcast talking about anime. And he like looked it up and stuff. So that was the one time where I've not had any reservation about like straight to the guns, just pew. Here's my podcast. Check it out, man. But not
check it out,
with,
check it out,
not
check
with
it out,
Becky
check
Lynch.
Out, check it out, check it out.
Becky Two Belts Lynch. Becky Two Belts. She's crazy. Yeah. So if I ever meet her again, I'll let you know. But
that's cool. That is a cool story.
Yep.
That was one of your better stories, Chest.
Thanks. I don't usually have good ones. So that one I'm pretty I'll tell it again next week. Just try to get as much mileage of it as possible. Did you know that Production IG may... I feel like that's probably one of the ones I've like recycled the most without thinking about it. Anyway, enough about WrestleMania and how just real life celebrities are. That's the takeaway here, folks. Celebrities are people too. So if you see one of your favorite anime characters walking around, just talk to him. All Might, he likes coffee like everybody else. Just go get a coffee with All Might. You know, he's just a normal dude trying to save the world, but he's got to eat. He's got to have friends.
Yep. He puts his pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us.
Yep. Goku, same. He wears a robe-ish pants, but same thing. Go talk to Goku. He's a good guy. Family man.
So what are we doing here, Chest?
Yep.
I was gonna not talk, and I'm like, I don't know what they'll do, so I'm just gonna like stop talking and not transition at all. No, we're gonna talk about My Hero Academia. So this show, the sixth season, it's a pretty long run. Sixth season just came out this year, and we held off watching it because I had watched the majority of the show, kind of gotten on a. I had hit a burnout stage when I was in like season four, not because of that show in particular, but just too much anime, just burned out on it. And I didn't pick it back up for a while. And then these guys started watching it. And so I was like, hey, let me know when you get to, I just was about to start season six. I'll wait for you guys. So as soon as they hit that point, we all watched season six together. And boy, are we glad we did, because now we have something to talk about, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, so,
Ben, do you find it funny that Chess started first and then you and I beat him last. Out? Like, we beat him. we watched the whole show while he was a full season behind after that.
I don't think anybody's going to be surprised by that, to be honest.
I think it's great.
I think it's hilarious, and yeah.
If I can also tell another version of that story, Chess said he just got a little burnt out. Colb and I got the impression he just didn't like the last season that he watched.
Yeah.
And so I think we had put it off a little bit because we're like, I don't know. It seems like Chess didn't like it.
Yeah, the running theory is that I hate this show. What did I call it? The best worst show I've ever seen.
You've called it many things.
Yeah. None of which are true. I really love this show.
I was the last one to start it. And by the time I asked Ben, like, should I start it? And Ben's like, I'm 30 episodes in and I am absolutely loving this. I don't understand what Chess was talking about. I'm like, okay, so I'll start it. And I was loving it all the way through. And then Ben and I kept texting back and forth, like, when is this downfall going to happen? Like, it must really fall off the edge for it to be this bad.
Okay. So I've been saving this conversation for this episode. I think this is what happened. There are really just one arc that's probably slower. There's a couple tropes that happen in the show, but the more that I've watched again, I've forgiven them, and I don't think they're bad. So I've redacted a lot of the feelings that I had at the beginning when y'all started watching this. I do think I remember when I was watching this, and it was back when I was still watching more dubbed. So that tells you it was quite a while ago. I started with dubbed. So I had to finish the show in dubbed because I couldn't watch it subbed. And I got burnt out. I was watching too many shows at once and just stopped watching all anime for a while. And so when I called that back to my brain, all I could remember was the negatives of what I thought were like, it's okay. I liked it, but I wasn't remembering. Like, for example, I just forgot all about like this awesome arc called Stain, and you guys start talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, crap, the Hitler killer, that's an awesome arc. So I did remember a lot of negatives, or perceived negatives. And so one thing that I said came true, and it changed the whole thing around for me. I told you guys from the get-go, I watched one episode of season six, and then I waited, and I said, I think season six is going to push this show over the edge for awesome for me. And I'm not going to say if it did or not, but it definitely did not do it. So there you go.
So you don't like it.
That's what I heard.
Out of 60 some shows, it's in the 80s at this point. Yeah. It's down 87.
If I can give you some support, despite our giving you a hard time, remember you saying when I did feel like you did think the last season wasn't the greatest, you talked about how much you did love it up until that season. So you definitely gave the show some props. It just sounded like at some point, which is what you kind of alluded to there.
I was talking about with the season four, right? The end of season four, or is it season five? They blend together.
I'm assuming season four, that last part is what you were referring to. I also didn't love that part, but
Yes, it was season four, and it was particularly like the school festival mixed with the, it was the low stakes school festival mixed with the low stakes influencer vigilante person.
Didn't
enjoy that arc at all. I mean, it was nice. It just was low stakes. And I feel like so much of this show has great high stakes stuff in it that I didn't like the low stakes parts of it most of the time. And that, and I've forgiven that. I understand why they're there now, but that's just, that was it. So we've cleared the air. Chess does not hate this show, but it is the worst. That's where we're at. Yeah.
All right. I'll accept that.
So I'm going to ask some questions that actually harken back to kind of some questions that we use for Kolb's Epic Anime Experiment, because they're really good for taking apart a whole show without having to go details and getting too in the weeds. So way back at the beginning, when you first watched this show, what was your first impression? Did you dive right in? Was it a slow start? What was it?
So I remember, I don't know if it was episode, I think it's episode one, they already introduced the idea of like basically their heroes all over the place. Like it's a hero world. So from episode one, I was like, this idea is awesome. It gives me the hope that there's going to be all kinds of different cool characters to root for. Cool powers, cool character traits, and just seems like an exciting world. And then I don't know if it's like episode two or three when Midoriya goes to save Bakugo when he doesn't have powers. And that's when I was like, yeah, I was like, this guy, this is who I'm looking for. And I already found him in like the first couple episodes. So between the world already I was excited about, and I already found my guy, quotation marks. I was sold on the show pretty early.
Yeah. Kolb, right before you answer, could you give just the briefest of setups of what this show encapsulates? Because Ben kind of alluded to it with the superhero stuff, but basically, you know how they give that, like, in a world, and they talk about what the world is. Could you just say that for people that might not know about the show?
Well, I don't know that word for word, but it's basically this universe, this world, the population of the planet Earth, 80% of them have some kind of superpower that they call a quirk. And with that, many of them become heroes. Some abuse their powers and become villains, and it just, this natural split happens. And well, as long as there's going to be kids growing up with superpowers, they need to get trained with those superpowers. Thus comes the schools. The academias.
My Hero Academia.
Yep, there you go. So that's basically it.
Cool.
That's this world. It's a superhero world where most people have some sort of power called a quirk.
And a lot of people live just normal lives with their quirks. That should be said. Like, a lot of quirks are pretty normal, and so they just live normal lives. But there's really superpowered ones, and those people are the ones trying to become superheroes.
Heroes.
And it does take place majority of the time in Japan. But the other nations are alluded to, especially at the end of season six.
Yeah.
So, Kolb, what was your first impression?
Oh, my goodness. I loved it. I loved the first episode. I can't exactly remember how it ends. But it's like All Might saves the day the first time. And you kind of built up with this. Midoriya loves All Might. He sees that video of him saving, you know, hundreds of people in that one disaster or whatever. And you're like, he talks about how he's always smiling to protect people, not only people's physical bodies, but their mental state. You know, like, I'm the hero, I'm here. Oh, it's so good. And the music swells and you're like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it's the first episode, but you know, you realize that All Might has this devastating injury where you're like, oh no, he can't be the hero he used to be.
Yep.
And yeah
it might literally be episode one where he's and he spews blood and you're like, ah, no.
And I think he crushes Midoriya right away in that episode too, where he's like, look, kid, you don't have a quirk. I don't think you'll ever become a hero. And you're like, oh, that's so sad. Like, it was sad. It made you feel something, which means it's a good episode. So
it was sad.
Episode one, fantastic.
I, again, this was a long time ago, but I remember liking it. It was a very fun show. Kicks off really well. Great characters are out the gate. So a lot of the same things y'all were saying. Similar question. At what point did it hit like your a really solid arc for you? Like, when were you like, oof, yeah, now we're past the intro stuff. This is a good, or maybe we're past bad arcs. I don't know. But I have a feeling based on y'all's reactions, the first arc that you encountered, a true arc, was probably your, probably going to be your answer. Any answers for that?
Was it school? Was the first like arc?
It was like, basically, are you talking about the entrance exams?
Yeah.
Entrance exams. Yeah. He's gotten All Might's power and he has to go into the entrance exams.
Yep. Yeah. That I was 1,000% in. Like, I just, and this goes into a much bigger answer, which I'll save, but, to me, these moments, you talked about low stakes earlier, there's a good way to do low stakes. And when they did anything surrounding the school, it was low stakes, but it was still super fun. And there were cool, powerful moments. There was emotional moments. So that's why this show knocked it out of the park for me, because even when they weren't facing serious consequences or villains, they still sucked you into the moments. Like, even whenever the teams are facing off, I think in like season five, I love that. Like, it's these four against these four, and they're just practicing and they get you into it big time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll go ahead and go, Cole. I definitely was sucked in at the beginning as well, because of how broad the cast of characters got. And I was like, oof, this is a lot of people. This is cool. There's a lot of powers here. So I really like that. I would agree with the low stakes. I think anytime they had a competition, I really enjoyed that. And the only low stakes one that flopped for me was the festival. It was cute and fun, but it wasn't like, it was like them using their powers to dazzle in a concert. What, given the stakes that are sandwiching what's happening, was too low stakes for me. But anyway, Cole, what's your answer?
Oh, it's hard to say by arcs. For me, it's more moments. So the first moment that really got excited was, you know, All Might's holding his hand like this. I'm showing it to you in the camera. He's like, I will transfer my powers to you, young Midoriya. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love this idea. And then what really solidified it was his first smash when he saves Uraraka from that giant robot. This is gonna be great. And I wasn't wrong.
Do you love that All Might's names and Deku's names are like U.S. cities? Like Detroit Smash.
I love that. Yeah, I love that All Might had. I was kind of disappointed that Deku just kind of stole those names.
Yeah.
I was hoping that he would make them his own, but it makes sense for his character because he idolized All Might so much.
Exactly.
He always took notes on every move. So it makes sense. I was just hoping he would do something different.
Yep. Speaking of characters, what Ben already alluded to this, so he can kick it off. When did your favorite character thus far in the show appear, and who is the favorite character?
So Midoriya for me, and it was the moment he went to save Bakugo. Yeah. Because, I mean, when you first see him, I'm like, you know, he's goofy, and I wasn't sure like what direction his character, what kind of hero he would be, because clearly this guy's going to be one of the heroes, if not the hero. But as soon as he did that, I'm like, that's what I look for. Like, is just the right heart and drive and hard work, even if he doesn't have the powers to necessarily back it up. And then he just went even further with the powers, which is great.
Right. Colster? I actually don't know who your favorite character is, so I'm curious.
You know, I really thought about it a long time. It's hard to say, but I think I'm going to have to go with All Might. I really love his character so much. I love him when he's super powerful, and I love when he's not. Like, that's his character now. He is not powerful anymore. But I still love him because he's, you know, he cares about all these kids. He cares about what he's he inadvertently ruined the world by making it so safe.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone.
And he goes through some intense character development, especially in seasons five and six.
Yeah. And that fight,
a lot of change for him.
That fight he has for all, or with All for One, when he's like at half power and he can only like get his one arm to be strong again, and he makes it work. He saves everybody one last time. I was like, oh, I love this guy.
Yep. That was really good.
And he's really funny too. Like when he's joking around with the students. So I love that.
He is quite funny. I love when he tries to be subtle. Like when he's trying to lie about him and Midoriya's relationship, and like how he gave his powers, and he's always like making up excuses for stuff because they're always so bad. His lying is terrible. And so funny. My favorite character came way late in the series. My favorite character is Hawks. And I think he does show up at the end of five. It's not all the way in season six, but his character doesn't really come into play until six, honestly. A lot of the stuff that I started loving about him was, I lie. He's in five, solidly in five, but he's in more of a like spotlighty, like showboyish sort of capacity. And in season six, he's solidified as my favorite character because of his self-sacrificing and he's forced to live this secret agent double life. And I do love that. I love when characters are flawed and they are trying to sacrifice as best they can with the whatever life has given them. I do love that. So Hawks for me. I will say, shout out to Best Genius, because I love hearing him talk. And every time he speaks, it's something about fabrics, threads, unraveling. Every time he speaks, I'm like, I love the puns, man. I love it. Just keep going. It's good stuff. So flip that. This show has 1.5 million characters. So much so, listeners and viewers, that if you haven't watched it, every time a character comes on scene, it's either audibly said or at least a subtitle is shown of like, this is the character's hero name and this is their quirk, just because we know you've probably forgotten. If it's a big moment, they'll be like, it's Deku and he has All for One. But if it's a small moment where there's like three characters on screen, it'll just show their names and like what their quirk is, so you don't forget, because they're like, hey, we know there's a lot of characters here. So within all those characters, is there any that disappointed you, or that you were maybe disappointed by how the show handled them?
Are you talking character wise or powers wise?
Either one, whatever you want.
Okay.
Maybe a misuse because it's a cool power, or maybe it's a cool dude who doesn't use his power well.
Ben, great question, Jess. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll jump in there.
Thanks.
I'll give you three names. I won't spend too much time. But Todoroki and Tokoyami are like my favorite minor characters. And I just wanted a little more. They gave us some good moments for each of those characters, but I would have liked them a little bit more out there, a little bit more in depth. But I still thought, with not being main characters, they still got some decent storyline, cool moments, like Tokoyami with Hawks. I like that kind of background. Todoroki and his family.
Yeah, how would you say too. That Todoroki didn't get enough screen time or didn't have enough? He's been huge, I think.
He had a good amount of exposure at the beginning and in the season with his family, but I felt season like there five. Was, I don't know if it was three and four, or there felt like there was a time where it's just because I really enjoyed the character. But my most specific answer to that question is Snipe, by far, 100%. I thought he looked cool. I thought he sounded cool. I love snipers and shows, movies, anything. He had his, as you guys pointed out, he had the cool moment when the villains were in the school and he came in and had some awesome shots right away. But that's it. That's it for the whole show. He helped training and they had him help train for one scene with the kids and they just like easily beat him up, which they let all of the like mentors get beat up. So I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. And in the last season, the only time they showed him was when they brought him into an interview talking about how he wasn't as good as the sniper that they showed. So
best one around if it wasn't for what's his name.
I was very disappointed. It's still cool that he was a part of it and had that moment and just seeing it. Like sometimes I like a character just if I can see them, because that coolness will sometimes carry through a scene. But yeah, that's my answer.
Cope, do you have an answer?
For me,
you don't have to have an answer.
Well, for me, the most disappointing, at least in Class A or 1A, has been Coda. I thought he would be this character that's quiet the entire time, and then he would have one majorly awesome scene, and you'd be like, oh, okay, he's got something good. But his power is kind of lame. He talks to animals, and that's it. And then when he talks, he's annoying to me, and I just don't like him. I was like, man, I thought this, because his head's a weird shape. So you're like, ooh, there's something about this guy. But then nothing really. Very big letdown.
Yeah, I have another one, but I do want to say I'm right there with you with Coda. He's like a likable person, but he's forgettable. Very forgettable. He does annoy me. His voice is a little annoying. Sugar Rush is also one that for me is like, he's kind of there. And his power does give him like the ability to be super strong, but it kind of just gets overlooked because just being super strong in a world where everybody has this crazy quirk is like, I mean, yeah, he gets it from sugar, so that's cool, I guess. But like, it's just super strength initially, essentially.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of overshadowed like, by cool. Midoriya.
So much by so many people, it's overshadowed. So it's just kind of like, that's cool, I guess, but like, he's not gonna make a top 10 list for me any day of the week.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So anyway, keep going with characters. Do you like how diverse the cast is? I know that I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say we all say yes, but it's sprawling. This is a large casted show. There is heroes showing up, villains showing up, the Yakuza showing up. So many groups of so many people are showing up. There's like four different groups. There's the Yakuza, the Yakuza, there's the main villains, and then there's like a, what is the, it's like the Freedom Society. It's also a villain group. And then there's our heroes. So there's like four or five groups at this point that are like that people could be a part of, and you have to remember what they're in and who they're with and who's alliancing with who. So how are you feeling about that? Do you like the diversity? Is it too big at this point? What do you feel?
For me, it never got too big. I felt like I could always track what was going on, and I thought it was cool that the villains, even there were different level of villains and battling each other and taking each other out. I thought they, man. And I know we all just gave examples of heroes that we wish would have gotten more. And I think that's just inevitable, but for how many heroes were constantly in the story, they did a great job giving a lot of characters a decent amount of spotlight. I thought was very impressive.
Yeah, it seems like for me, I'm always like, come on, show, focus up, let's follow just a few characters and really dig deep into them. But for this one, yeah, the multiple characters does not bother me at all, whether it's Class A, Class B, all of the heroes that are helping out with the school, all the heroes that are out in the world, all of the villain teams, you know, like, there's so many characters. And a lot of them have great depth to them. And it doesn't bother me that there's so many of them. I don't know if that's because I grew up with superheroes, like the Marvel universe, and I collected comic books, and I know all those different characters too. And it's just, maybe that was a help, but the show is doing a fantastic job keeping those characters, you know, from mixing together, you know?
I would say it does bridge pretty easily into a mirror of Marvel. Like, there's a lot of different types of people in the Marvel universe. You got, if you really dig deep, you got to keep track of them all. There's the, there's Fantastic Four, there's X-Men, the Avengers. There's even just, you go into one character, you got Spider-Man, you got a whole cast of villains. So I think that's a great illustration. I really appreciate that, Cole. I would agree with both of you. I don't think it's too big. Because they, again, if they didn't remind me every time who was who, that could be a problem. But they do remind you, and it makes you care more. You're like, oh, cool, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the tape guy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's a Class A person. But, you know, it just gives you that repeated, like, exposure without being obnoxious. Like, oh, I've got to do a cool fight scene with this guy so you remember his power. It's like, no, we'll just tell you what it is. And then if he does something great, if he doesn't, he might just be walking down the street and get punched in the face. But you're like, oh, no, so-and-so got punched in the face. I think one of the funniest characters for me that I love, I wish I saw more of, was the washing machine hero. He always cracks me up when he comes on screen.
He's in the top 10 of, like, the famous ones.
Yeah, he's
right?
A top 10 hero.
That's so funny.
And I'm just like, this is great. I want to see more of the washing machine. So keeping going, how well is this world set up for you? You know, if you're looking at world building, I'll actually lead with this one. I'm very excited. I think they build this well. We've been in Japan this whole time. And what does the end of season 6 do? Literally flying in heroes from all over the globe. They're like, please, we need help. United Nations-esque people. And classic America. All the other nations are like, well, we're going to have to mobilize. Our heroes really want to come, but there's some red tape. We got to figure this out. And then America's like, yeah, our hero already left. I'm sorry. She's on her way right now. We couldn't stop her. And I was like, nah, that makes sense. That's like the broad, like super arrogant, like freedom and independence. Like, I'm just going to go. And it's this USA, like superhero-esque, Superman-esque superwoman, I should say, because she's a woman. But you found out she's trained by All Might. It's that All Might was her mentor. And I do remember, I think it's in one of the movies, it references he spent time abroad. So he trained this lady, and she looks all like right. A superwomanish character. So I'm excited to see other countries get brought in to Japan because they're in turmoil. I think that broadens the world tremendously for me, because even though I knew that the world has quirks all over it, I've mainly just been focused in Japan. And so it's like, oh, this is where we're living. But now they're like, nope, Japan's in turmoil. What are we going to do? Bring in other heroes. So it's cool. How about for you guys?
Nope, I don't disagree with anything you said. The world is set up very well. And I don't know if it's just because the narrator tells us almost every episode about the quirk thing or whatever, but yeah, it all makes sense to me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never got tired of seeing people's powers. I never got tired of halfway through the episode seeing the fun facts about people. I never... got tired of the narrator. It I don't know why, but that repetitiveness was just like, oh, this is great. I forgot. Or, oh, that's good to see that again. Or, oh yeah, that was their name. Oh, that was their power. Just really well built. I'm a little, I don't know if I'd use the word nervous. I don't know. Everything's just been so good here in lovely Japan. I am a little nervous, like what exposing the whole world now to this show, to this world, will do. But with how they've knocked it out of the park 6 seasons, I can't imagine they're just going to like forget how to make good anime. So
you never know.
Yeah. You know, so we'll see. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Do we have a date?
On season 7? I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they've been tracking year to year, so I'm sure it'll be fall, winter, probably.
Cool.
That'd be my guess. So if you were going to describe this show to someone and they were like, cool, I like this, you know, I've heard of this show. It's pretty famous. I'm not a huge anime person, but I heard of this show. But Ben and Cole, what makes this show unique? Why am I going to watch this show? What would you tell them? This is just, you know, your average WWE wrestler off the street.
Ooh. I would say, well, Rebecca.
Changes. That changes this... things.
I don't know. I think it's just you have so many people to latch on to love. You know, you want to root for somebody, and they give you plenty of people to choose from. And yep. Most of them, I would say 98% of them, you don't hate. Like, you hate villains but they're good villains. You know what I mean? You want a villain to hate. But I mean, like, there's not that many annoying characters.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really attach to somebody or some aspect of the show. It's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. That's the route I was going to go with Rebecca as well. So I'm actually with Colb at the coffee shop. But yeah, Rebecca, honestly, for me, it's you will find someone in this show to root for. You will find someone. And it's just, they do such a great job building the story for so many characters. And I mean, Rebecca, you know, like in your wrestling world, like every fan wants to find that wrestler that they identify with, or that, you know, that's my wrestler.
Oh,
that's what I would say to Rebecca.
Yeah, I really love the personalization for this. This is great. I would say, what makes it unique? I would say, I would probably pull back to the cast of characters as well. That I've yet to find a show that does it this well. I just truthfully, there's many shows that have a humongous cast of characters, but I inevitably forget them. I inevitably don't care about the majority of them. But in this one, I enjoy seeing them come back on screen. Almost without fail, I enjoy seeing all those characters. Like, when there's going to be a big gathering of heroes, I get excited about that. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be good. I'm going to see so-and-so. They're going to how are they going to use this person? And do they have to focus in on specific characters? Yeah. But I feel like season to season, they've done a good job of getting different heroes and villains screen time as the show has gone along. And that's been really nice. They've not forced it along with, like when Apprenticeship started and they went and trained at different agencies. That was great because you got to see other heroes, pro heroes, in action in a very organic way. I think that's great. So they just handle their cast of characters really, really well. Similar question, but way more personal for you. What has gripped you, Ben and Cole, the most about the show?
It's the moments, the hero moments. Mm. They build them up so well, and then they cash that in even better. So, like I said, that moment that really solidified it was Midoriya jumping really high, his legs broken and battered, they're flopping in the wind, and he just smashes that robot. It was great. Yeah. Moments. And every fight has a moment. It doesn't have to be just Deku. It could be any character.
Yeah. Yeah. I would totally agree with that. I'm just seeing Ben's text of all his Popco figures.
Yeah, he made so many.
My Hero Academia. I love it. So many. Talk about cast of characters. What's gripped me most about this show? I went into this show thinking that it was going to be a much more cookie cutter show. You know what I mean? Shonen, cookie cutter, fitting all those stereotypes. and I did not expect the depth of character development that I have received.
Right.
And that has been phenomenal.
We had talked about it in some other episode. We're like, this is kind of the Dragon Ball Z of our generation. And yep. there's
but it's not.
It's not. At the same time. No, because Dragon Ball Z, it's a great show in my opinion, but it's not like this. It does not dive deep into characters. One, their background, their feelings, the way they create things in their mind. You know, these characters are real people. Like, you can look at Goku yep. and be like, oh, he's kind of a cartoon character, you know?
Yep.
But these kids,
so
like,
what's
gripped? You know
them. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
And I'm honestly, good. Honestly, what's gripped me the most about this show? The Todoroki family. That plot line.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It's so horrible is why right. it's so good. Like,
that's what I mean.
When you, oh yeah. When you find out that Endeavor.
Morally good.
No, it's quite bad. It's like when you find out Endeavor is basically an abusive father, he is a psycho in some ways. That beginning of redemption story that we're getting is like, yes, this is why I'm here for this show. Character development on this level is phenomenal. All his kids hate him, but now they're coming back around. Like, let's put our family back together. Yeah. Dobby turning out to be his son. Holy cow.
Oh my goodness.
You just really threw me for a loop here, and I love it. So like the whole in Todoroki family is, and even like my favorite character, Hawks is brought into that because Endeavor was his favorite hero, and he still kept him as his favorite hero. And still mm-hmm. idolized him, but recognized that he was flawed because he himself was flawed. He himself had a terrible family. And so he was still a hero to Hawks. And so like that whole plot line of like Endeavor wrestling through, how do I even begin to find redemption? How do I even begin to make up for what I've done? I can't. So I'm just going to move forward and just hope that my family will accept that I'm trying here. I love it. That like season 5 and 6 for me have been blowing me out of the water.
So good.
I actually was thinking about this. Okay. You know what this show is reminding me of is like, again, nothing at all in content, but in like lightheartedness to depth is like how the Harry Potter journey goes. The first
Batman.
Couple books are like, wait, what? Batman. Yeah.
Dark Knight.
It's a Dark Knight. Harry Potter, the first couple books are lighthearted with some serious moments and you get hints that the world is a big world, but it's not until you get to book 6 and 7 where it's super dark all the time and it's heavy, 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 heavy. And that's what I feel like is happening is like, oh, it's this high school. This is cute. This is fun. Whoa. Oh, man. Oh, there's a hero killer. Oh, my gosh. There's these villains.
What?
And it just keeps getting darker and darker and darker. And you just realize it's a whole show of gray at this point. There's mm-hmm. no black and white left. Even Deku is like, there's no black and white. I can't be the hero I want to be. And everyone's like, well, we're going to help you. We're going to help you be the hero.
I would say there's black and white. There is a clear evil in this.
Okay, there's one clear evil character. But where would you say the light side is completely? Who's the only character who's never been compromised at this point?
The entire academy?
Well, you...
The entire academy.
The principal? I think just because Hawks is your favorite character, you're thinking he's the only... Like, that's how all the heroes are? I don't think that's the case. I think most of the heroes, they're all fighting for... Well, not all of them. I guess there are some that give up. They are only in it for the fame and the money and all that
kind
of stuff.
Many
of them, yeah. But there's plenty of characters that are still good people, good on the light side.
Yeah.
I would say they're good. I would say they're good. I understand what you're saying. Yes. I'll rephrase it. It's not cookie cutter black and white anymore.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Is that fair? Like even Deku going through his journey of like self-discovery, that's definitely, Goku's not going to do that.
No.
Goku doesn't go through like I'm going to quit. Like I can't do this. he goes through like, I can't do it. So I power up, but but he powers up and he's good to go. So there's no more cookie cutterness. It's a lot more mature show. And I like it. It's the most gripping thing. Bin Man, what's most gripping for you about this show?
Ooh, it usually corresponds with the music and some of these like hero moments where it just starts building. You're like, oh shoot, we're about to, somebody's about to punch somebody really hard in the face, or somebody's about to, or no, somebody saves somebody, and then the music comes in and you're just like, oh, it gives you I'm getting goosebumps right now. So like they really nail some of those hero moments. Like I think we all bonded over like the hero moment in Fire Force when Shinra drop kicks somebody from the sky. My hero is loaded with those moments. And like, that I think is one of the things that sets it apart. And it's not just one character. Like we each probably name like five characters that have those awesome moments that you're just like, ooh man.
I'm actually gonna name one. You know when I actually had that with the music and the whole thing was with the rabbit lady. She really kicked butt.
Yeah, she did,
because she was going crazy, and you just met her, literally just met her, and you're like, dude, this is, you're trying to break into my top five characters here. What are you doing? Stop it, slow down. But she just like goes full speed. And it's because it's such a high stakes moment, and she's just like built for this scene, and but the music, the whole stakes at large, and she's just like going everywhere, and you're just like, it's so much is happening. I love it. So, to your point, any character can have that moment in this show.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even like Fat Gum. Fat Gum has a moment. I think.
I like him.
A good example.
Fat Gum is great. Yeah, he shrinks. Yep. Right, he like loses all his fat.
When he powers up real time, he loses his fat.
Yeah, he loses his fat.
It's like a Choji moment.
Yeah. It's like a Choji moment. I just got there.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have even said that. You've seen that now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. It's good stuff.
It's like apples to apples. Yeah. And your what's his name? Kirishima or something. You really like his character too. They both had cool moments in that scene. The guy that hardens chest, don't you really like him?
I do like him. He's not my favorite, but I do really like him. I think he's an underrated character for sure. Mm-hmm. He's one of these, like, he gets an E for effort. He really puts in the work, and he always seems like he has to work a little bit harder because his quirk is a very, like, it's good. It's very self-defense oriented. And so he's having to, like, even at the end, he's like, I want to be with Midoriya, but I'm stuck here. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel like he always feels. It's like, I'm always left behind. Because everybody else has these crazy powers that shoot them forward, and I'm in some ways normal, and I'm picking up the pieces. But he then catches them and is like, yes, good job, man. That's why you're there. You're the support structure. So it's good.
Hey, he's the one who gets the jar finally in that gigantic guy's mouth.
He does. He does. He does.
Big moment.
Big moment. Well, we have watched six seasons. I am curious, did y'all watch any of the movies as you were going through?
Negative. I did not. I don't know where to find them.
Okay. So, to pull back to our beginning, that was another reason why I didn't like the show, if you recall. So I yanked the movies out of the rating system, and that changed. That was a game changer.
That did it for you?
Oh, yeah. Just like Naruto, the movies are, some of them are good, but they don't do anything to the plot. And I'm like, these could have been amazing, but it's just filler. And so I had basically dropped the ratings of the show because of these movies. And when I took them out, I was like, okay, the show is good. The show is very good. But are y'all going to watch the movies?
I'm in no rush.
Kolb says shrug.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I'll probably watch them if I find them. But yeah, I'm not in a rush.
Okay. I won't say anything then. I won't say anything. Cool beans. Well, I want to know. Where's the show rank for you, boys? Where's the show rank for you in your master list?
Actually, I know where it is, but I'm still going to pull mine up.
Our schedule is called the master list. So actually, this is called the tops. So just give a refresher. How many shows have you seen? And what number is this show for you?
Mm.
Cole, why don't you kick us off? Because sure. You have the most shows.
I am at 77 shows. And it is at number 6. Number 6.
And what color is it?
It's black.
What color is it?
Fantastic. Nice. Very good. It's above Vinland Saga and below Haikyuu. And that's only because I haven't seen Haikyuu in a while. So when the new season or the new movies come out, I forget which one they're going to do. I'll do a rewatch movies. And then we will decide what that's going to be.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Ben's is similar. So yeah, right now number 6 in my top 10.
Nice. I will actually go next if you don't mind. I have 68 shows, and when they were ragging me, it was what? Where was it at? It was actually green. It was green.
Yeah,
when you were ragging me.
In your middle tier, like C plus.
So it was like a C category. Great feud. It was like a B. Great feud and no issues.
I forgot. Your rankings are weird.
Yeah, great feud and no issues, but it was.
Jordan
it
is
was
a 7 out of 10.
It was in the 20s. It is now sitting at number 5, and it is in black. 10 out of 10 for the win for Chest. Number 5 out of 68. Season 6, man. Season 6.
That was
so good.
So good. Hey, well, man. I'm going to piggyback off of Kolb. So I've watched 34 shows, and it's my number 2, right below Naruto. If you don't already know, you know everyone's just fighting for second. But my hero is number 2, right above Haikyuu, and ironically, the same exact reasons Kolb said, but since my hero is just more fresh, I'm temporarily going to give that the number 2 slot. But I even have the notes in my thing. I'm going to rewatch the show closer to the movie. And then after that, I'll give those two a final ranking. And those are right above. So I have a yellow section. That's my number 2 section. My Hero, Haikyuu, Hunter x Hunter, Attack on Titan, Full Metal. Those are my shows that are just like, they're fantastic. I don't have any complaints for any of them. So they're all close. It's not really like a landslide by any means.
I need to redact what I said because I said it was number 5. It's number 4. So that's good. Didn't say it was too low. Yeah.
2, 4, 6.
I misread it. It's number 4. It's above Mob Psycho 100 and it is below Attack on Titan, which is obviously number 3. So it is sitting at number 4. It went up from the 20s to number 4 with the last 2 seasons.
Incredible.
And you took out the movies. Took out the crappy movies.
You got to take out the movies.
You got to take out the movies. There is very few exceptions for movies in anime. Very few. Very, very few. Well, boys, that is a good show. It's the best worst show I've ever seen. So glad it's sitting at number 4 for such a terrible show that it is. But I'm really glad we finished this one. I think this is one of the longer ones that we've ever finished for sure. And for the sake of doing an episode about it for sure.
You mean together?
Yeah. Like we've not gone through a 6-season show with the intent of doing an episode about it. I think initially we didn't start with that, but once we got watching it, we were like, yeah, we're definitely going to do an episode about this because it's awesome. This show is great. I mean, real briefly, would y'all recommend it? Thumbs up, thumbs down? I think I know the answer to that.
Absolutely. Watch it.
Yeah. It's a pretty across-the-board anime. If you're a beginner to anime, it's probably a good one. If you're a younger person watching anime, still probably a good one. It's a pretty clean anime. It's a fun one. It's got comedy in it. It's got lightheartedness. It's got low stakes. It's got high stakes. It's got extreme high stakes. It's got some very serious issues that they deal with, like families, as well as like how politics and world government works as far as treating people equally. It's really good. I would definitely recommend a watch of this show. I anticipate that as new things come out, we'll probably watch it and we'll probably cover it if I had to guess. I don't know if we'll do a full play-by-play because we'll be too there's just some shows, folks, that we don't cover because we don't want to have to wait to watch them, if I'm being honest. Some shows, you might be like, why haven't you guys covered Demon Slayer? It's like, well, because we really like it. We want to watch it like as soon as we can. That we haven't yet because every time it's come out, we're just like, yeah, just watch it when you want to because we all love it. So just watch it. We'll see what happens in the future. But My Hero Academia has solidified itself as an amazing show in our hearts and on our show. So we appreciate you listening to us chat about it. Do you two gentlemen have any last words for our viewers, viewing audience? About the show or otherwise? Just random words?
No, sir.
Nope.
Good. No, I'm
anything,
good also.
Anything for Rebecca? Anything for Rebecca who's listening anxiously?
Oh, right.
I already told her how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And with that, we will end tonight. We really appreciate you guys listening. As always, if you want to reach out to us, our email is in the description. You can find us on Twitter. Give us a little shout out. We'd love to eventually see it in like a couple weeks when we check our email, and we'll get back to you. But thank you for listening once again to Three Dads Talking About Anime.
What do you get when you add 2 + 1?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when three guys love anime?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when those three guys start having
kids,
children,
dads,
and so
become fathers
and each have kids
separately?
Went on to each didn't play separate ways.
What happens?
So.
You get three dads talking about anime.
Three dads talking about anime.